I agree that we all have stories, and God wants us to tell our stories because our stories are God's way of appealing to a world to tell the truth of who Jesus is and how Jesus can restore a life that's been broken.
Hope has a name. The name has a face. And when you look into his eyes of love, you will never be the same. Your only hope is Jesus. Hope has a name.
Well, hello, this is Dr. Peggy Banks.
And I'm Babbie Mason, and welcome to Hope Has a Name.
Hope Has a Name. We are so thankful that you've joined us today. And Babbie, it's wonderful to be with you again today. And just two girls sitting around a table talking about things that matter to God.
Yes, I like that.
Me too. Me too. And we want to invite you, our listeners, to be a part of the conversation with us. You can reach us by email. And if you want, you can just send us your thoughts, your comments, maybe some ideas for future topics. And you reach us at twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. So today, Babbie, let's talk about it. Let's just jump in.
Well, I remember during one of our conversations, Peggy, I talked about a defining moment in my life.
Yes.
And it was really insightful to go there and to talk about those moments in our lives that are like intersections and crossroads where we see God in a different way, or some insight from the Word, from the Bible, or some deeper relationship that changes our life. And I talked about John 17:23, how I learned that I was God's favorite.
Yes.
And so today I want to hear about your defining moment. You know, we talked in times past that you and I have diverse backgrounds.
Right.
And I really think that that's one of the platforms of our conversations.
Yes.
Is that we all have a story. Our stories are validated. Mm-hmm. Our stories matter to God because he is the core of our story.
Right, right.
And when he comes into our life, our story takes on new meaning.
Yes.
And we don't go back to the past, but the past is a part of our story. And the past makes the brand new life that we have a defining moment
for us.
That's
right.
And so I want to hear about your defining moment and what that means to you in your life and your journey.
Yeah, thank you, Babbie, because I do feel today that every life matters to God. And I agree that we all have stories. And God wants us to tell our stories because our stories are God's way of appealing to a world to tell the truth of who Jesus is and how Jesus can restore a life that's been broken. And, you know, I have the wonderful privilege to be the Global Ministry Director for TWR Women of Hope. And I get to travel around the world and meet with leaders and women and share with them how God has worked in my life. And many times to tell my story can be very difficult and very painful, you know. But yet the truth today is I know that my past is forgiven and that I am set free in Jesus. And once, you know, the Savior sets you free, you are free indeed, right? And
amen.
As far as the East is from the West, he remembers our sins no more. And so sometimes it's hard to tell our story, but we tell it because if there's just one person, one listener today that has a connection with something that I've gone through, and they can hear God's love and God's mercy in that and to believe that God will give them that same grace and mercy as they're going through it. It's all worth it. It's all worth it to talk about how God has worked in our lives and tell those hard parts of our stories. So I want to share with you a little bit a defining moment. We look at that. There's many of them since I've come to know Christ. But like you, Babbie, you're right. I came to know Jesus later on in life. I was an adult and very much had a business. I was working in a business that was very successful and was a fitness specialist and training professional athletes. And I had an aerobic business and I had been on TV and I was doing commercials and doing all these kinds of things. And just kind of living this life that everybody thought was great and thought that I had it all together. And But I was really dying inside, dying to tell somebody what I was really going through and living this double life that I had learned as a young girl how to do pretty successfully. And I was living this life until one friend of mine in my aerobic studio invited me to her church. And I went to church with her that day, and I heard the pastor preach a message from Psalm 46:1. And that verse says that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. And in one translation, it says, "Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble." He can see what we're going through, and he is very present in our times of trouble. Well, I heard the pastor preach that message, and I believed I needed God to be my refuge and strength because I was in trouble. I mean, that's really all I heard. You are in trouble.
Wow.
And somebody can help you here. You know, I've always grown up thinking that I was a survivor, that I had to survive, that I had to find my way out of difficulty, do it myself, figure it out, and made those things happen. So I never thought I could tell anyone when I was failing or when I was in trouble or when somebody was hurting me. But I knew that day I needed to tell someone, and I needed to tell God. So I gave my life to Christ that day, and I told my friend what was going on. I was actually living with a guy who was physically and sexually abusing me, who was beating me on a regular basis, who was very rude and mean to me, who was sexually using me in places and made me do things that I didn't want to do. And some in my own sinfulness I did want to do. But I knew I needed to get out of that relationship. But, you know, with domestic violence, as I studied Babbie and went back to school, I realized that they say that women who are in a violent relationship will try to get out of the relationship, they say, up to 13 times before she's actually set free. Because you start believing everything that's being said about you. That you're nothing, that you're stupid, that you can't do anything without them. You know, they're the ones that, you know, are your life. And you start to believe that, that you – I've seen women who are very educated women get into an abusive relationship and over time have seen them come to a place where they're not even able to put a sentence together because they're so afraid of someone rejecting them, or for them to make a mistake, or to have someone's anger to rise up and for them to be beaten. It's very paralyzing. But I knew somehow I needed to get out of that relationship, and I came home that day from church, and I called my boyfriend. I said, I want to end this relationship once and for all. And that night, in his anger, he broke into my apartment, and he came there to kill me. And he said to me, Peggy, if I can't have you, no one else can. And you see that a lot in domestic. It's a control issue. It really is. It's not all about at all about love or as much as it is about control. And that's what he said. And so for about 3 hours, he was there just doing some very severe things to me, beating me, tying me up, raping me several times. At one point, a phone call came in. He pulled the phone off the wall. He broke all the mirrors in my house. It was just terrible. And he was saying some very difficult things for me to listen to, cursing and saying I was all kinds of things. And I just agreed with him. I didn't defend it. I didn't fight back. I just agreed with him. You're right. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a bad person. I'm no good for you. And then at some point in the time when he was there, Babbie, I remembered that passage that the pastor preached that morning, that God is my refuge and my strength and a very present help in trouble. And for some reason, I only say today is by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, I knew God was in that room and he was present. I didn't tell my boyfriend that verse. I didn't, you know, stand up and say, I'm going to fight back. I just believed it somehow. And by God's grace, my boyfriend left my apartment that night. What he did was he went to the pastor's house and told the church everything that he had just told me about what a bad person I was. But for the next couple hours, I was in a fetal position on the ground, just crying and weeping and fearful that he was going to come back. And then, as many people do who are caught in a domestic violent situation, I got up the next morning, got dressed, and went to work. I didn't call the cops. I didn't turn him in. I didn't do any of that. I didn't know how to do that. Today, I counsel women very differently who have experienced that and want them to know that, you know, God is their refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble, but so are others. There are people that can help us. There are people that can help you. If you are in a violent relationship, if you're in a situation where you don't know where to go, there are people who can help you with a safety plan, who can get you out, who can give you some suggestions.
You know, Peggy, thank you for sharing your story. It's very powerful. You're not the only one who has that story. Mm-hmm. God is a very present help in a time of trouble.
Yes.
And I love his word. I love Jeremiah 33:3. He says, when you're in trouble, call me. Mm-hmm. And if you are in trouble, you are not alone. And sometimes we wonder, well, why do these kind of things have to happen to us? Those are questions that I can't really answer. But yes. I don't dwell on the things that I don't know, but I stand on what I do know.
Yeah.
When I'm in trouble, number one, God is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a very present help in a time of trouble.
Yeah.
And he is a deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave you a miracle that day.
He did. He really did.
Your boyfriend, he left your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to, and he went, the crazy thing is he went to church.
Right.
I still, every time I hear you tell your story.
Yes.
That's like, that is even in this crazy mixed up relationship,
right.
God is in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness, your relationship was brand new. You just received him that day.
That day. And one thing I think about that, Babbie, and just hearing you share that is, you know, for him to go to the church, now the church became aware of what I was going through. I don't know if I would have told the church this what had happened that night. I probably would have tried to cover it up because I wouldn't want them to really know what was exactly happening. But because he went to the church really knew how to come alongside and embrace me and help me to walk through. And they even helped me at one of the services a couple weeks later when he showed up at the church to get me and to take me away from there. I mean, they helped me and protected me and called the police and all those things.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Well, your story is compelling, and it's a reminder that God is always there with us, even in our deepest pain, even in our times of trouble, he is there.
Amen.
And listener, we want you to know that we are with you today. We are praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you are in pain today, God is there with you. You are not alone.
Amen.
He does care about you, and he wants you to cast all your care upon him because he loves you. And if you are in trouble, we would just encourage you to reach out to us at TWR, Women of Hope, at TWR.org. That's TWR, Women of Hope, at TWR.org. And Peggy Banks and Babbie Mason are praying for you. We love you. And thank you so very much for joining us today here on Hope Has a Name. And we just encourage you to tell your story. Tell us your story.
Yes.
We would love to hear from you.
That's right.
And share your joys and even pray with you through your pain. We're here for you.
Hope has a name. The name